I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. On today's episode, I'm covering a set of stats that you can use to evaluate players in your fantasy baseball league. Plus, we'll talk modified draft strategy and how the delay to the season could impact the way you draft certain players. Let's get into it. Today I'm going to go through three stats that I look at in accordance with each other when I'm trying to figure out if a player is legit or not and if I should pick them up. Before that, remember to not look at these stats in isolation. Over the last few weeks, we've gone over how to use a combination of hard contact rate and BABIP to evaluate players. And what I'm going to do today is go over another piece to add to the puzzle. Think of this process as a checklist. If a player's hard contact rate isn't above or near their medium contact rate, I almost always pass on them with a few exceptions. I also use BABIP to determine if I think a player is getting lucky or not, or playing above their natural ability or not. So what we're going to do today is to look at line drive, ground ball, and fly ball rate, and figure out how to use those stats in conjunction with the previous ones to determine targets for fantasy baseball. Okay, so let's first establish this. Not every batter is equal. What I mean by that is power hitters will be more prone to hit fly balls, while the wiry speedsters will likely hit more ground balls. You can't look at all batters the same way. However, my criteria usually excludes those speedy little guys, of course with exceptions. When we're talking about line drive, ground ball, fly ball percentage, it is essentially what it says on the surface. They're the different types of balls that a player will hit. It's important, though, to understand the meaning of those statistics. They're definitely related, but let's get into how they're related and what sort of players fit different profiles. One general rule is that batters who hit more line drives and ground balls are going to do better because that makes it less likely that the player is consistently grounding out to infielders. The tough comparison comes between fly balls and ground balls, because ground balls tend to go for hits more often than fly balls, actually, but fly ball outs usually produce more sacrifice runs. So you have to do a little more research player by player when comparing ground balls and fly balls. Luckily, there's a stat called ground ball to fly ball rate, usually a ratio, which I'll get into next week, that helps paint that picture. If you really want an idea of what the line drive, ground ball, fly ball data means, you need to look at the type of contact being generated and the BABIP to determine the significance of those stats. And I'm getting all this data from Fangraphs.com. Let's take a look at the NL MVP, Cody Bellinger. Last season, 26% of his hits went for line drives, meaning a quarter of the balls that he hits are not being grounded out into the infield and are not pop-up flies into the outfield. These are difficult balls to catch for the defense and gives you an understanding of how Bellinger is able to maintain a high batting average and be so productive with the bat. In addition to that, his ground ball rate was 31%, which is excellent. The farther away you can get from 50% as your ground ball rate, the better. So the fact that he's hitting only 31% of his balls on the ground means that it's less likely he's grounding into outs. And his fly ball rate was 42%, which is much higher than a straight contact hitter like Jose Iglesias, who had a 22% fly ball rate, in large part because Bellinger is a power hitter and Iglesias isn't. And while a high fly ball rate could be a negative because those hits could turn into fly outs, a 42% fly ball rate wasn't a bad thing for Bellinger last year because his fly balls turned into either home runs or productive outs. You can also determine the productivity of those fly balls by looking into the home run to fly ball percent, which is something else we'll spend time on next week. I want to spend a little more time on two different hitters that have been productive but have very different line drive, ground ball, fly ball rates than Bellinger. So let's look at Jay Bruce, who began last season as a productive batter but in a totally different way than Bellinger. And what we eventually saw was an unsustainable way. Bruce had a 17% line drive rate, a 28% ground ball rate, and an astronomical 54% fly ball rate. The reason I don't like players like Jay Bruce is because it's more likely that a lot of his fly balls will be out. Basically, they're either going to be an out or a home run, essentially the two likeliest outcomes of a fly ball. Now, if he had a solid hard contact percent, I'd have picked him up because I would think that a good number of those fly balls would be hit hard and would go for home runs. But last year, that wasn't the case because most of his hits went for medium contact, and so a lot of his fly balls were unproductive. And a fly ball rate like that, and a home run to fly ball rate like he had last year are basically unsustainable. Another different type of player who doesn't have eye-popping line drive, ground ball, fly ball numbers is Francisco Lindor. In 2019, Lindor had a 19% line drive rate, a 43% ground ball rate, and a 36% fly ball rate. What I see is a decent line drive percent, but a higher ground ball percent that I like. To me, this is a product of Lindor being a different type of hitter than Bruce or Bellinger. He isn't a straight-up power hitter, but he can hit some home runs, which would explain his good but not great line drive and fly ball numbers. But the important thing to notice is that he's quick enough to beat out some of those ground balls, and he's a good enough hitter that those ground balls are going where the fielders aren't. He also has great hard contact, so a lot of those ground ball hits are probably hit too hard for the fielders to get to, and his BABIP reflects some of those presumptions. So, what's the takeaway here? Look at the line drive, ground ball, fly ball stats, player by player, and look at those stats in conjunction with hard contact and BABIP to get a more complete picture of each player. Like the other stats I've shared over the last few weeks, first to find it, go to fangraphs.com. Let's choose a player to analyze who has a decent line drive, ground ball, fly ball rate, Brandon Belt. If you search for him, look for a section on his player page labeled Batted Ball. Here you'll see that his line drive, ground ball, fly ball percentages for 2019 were 23% line drive, 28% ground ball, and 48% fly ball. On the surface, everything seems fine. He didn't ground out a ton. A good amount of his hits went for line drives, and he hit a lot of fly balls, which remember, can turn into outs or home runs. For Belt last season, though, his medium contact was higher than his hard contact, and his home run to fly ball ratio was 8%. What that means is if 48 out of 100 of his hits went for fly balls, only 8 out of those 48 turned into home runs, which means the rest were probably outs. That's not good. This is an example of why you have to look at multiple stats when evaluating a player. On the flip side, someone I absolutely would go after based on line drive, ground ball, fly ball numbers is Justin Turner. His line drive, ground ball, fly ball percentages are 26% line drive, 34% ground ball, and 40% fly ball, combined with a 50% hard contact rate, which is one of the highest from last year, and a 17% home run to fly ball ratio. He's more likely to be a productive hitter. Also, take into account his lineup, where you have a very good hitter on a very good team, and you have yourself a solid fantasy option at third base. So hopefully, this has made sense. In a few moments, I'll talk modified draft strategy, but first, a short break. So obviously, with coronavirus and social distancing, the MLB season is going to be started late and presumably cut short. If you haven't drafted yet, this can definitely impact your draft strategy in a way you may not have thought of. All of a sudden, certain players become more valuable in a late starting season, and others become much less valuable. So some players whose values are going to be going up are players recovering from injuries. So one example of this is Eugenio Suarez in Cincinnati. He's recovering from a shoulder injury, and had the season started on time, you know, he wouldn't be playing. And so he's a guy who, in your draft, may have been picked up a little bit later because of the injury. Well, now that the season start date is getting pushed back, you're looking at a guy who is likely going to start the season healthy. So where you might have drafted him later as an injured player, now you're drafting him in a more normal slot. Some other players who are in the same boat, you got Aaron Judge recovering from a stress fracture in his rib, Justin Verlander recovering from a groin surgery, Mike Clevinger recovering from a knee injury, James Paxton recovering from a back injury. All those guys now, you know, they're likely to start the season healthy, and so you can draft those guys in their normal slot, in a normal slot in a draft, not factoring in that they're going to be injured to start the season. You know, one guy who I had kind of downgraded earlier in the year was Giancarlo Stanton. He was recovering from a calf injury, which he's now fully recovered from. So he's a guy you can slot in as a top two outfielder on your team. You know, there's also pitchers who are coming back from injuries and young starters getting their first major league experience that may have been on innings limits, but now are, you know, that's not going to be necessary anymore. Tyler Glasnow becomes much more valuable this year in Tampa, coming back from an injury from last year, where he may have been limited to start the season. Now he won't be. Shohei Ohtani in Anaheim becomes much more valuable as a pitcher this year because he's going to be that much farther removed from Tommy John. Zach Gallen in Arizona, he only pitched 60 major league innings last year. He definitely would have been on an innings limit this year, but now that's not relevant. One player I really like this year who would have been on an innings limit is Lance McCullers. You're looking at a guy who can be a top 20 pitcher this year. His stuff is excellent. You know, he's going to get a lot of strikeouts, and he'll get an opportunity to start for the Astros. He should be really good now that the season's going to be shorter. Some other young starters I like that should get solid playing time now. Aaron Civale in Cleveland, Brendan McKay in Tampa, who's also a two-way player, and Jesus Luzardo and AJ Puck in Oakland. Unfortunately, I think a shortened season is going to have some negative effects on some players, specifically some of the top prospects. With a shortened season, we're looking at less time for players to get injured, and so the likelihood of those highly touted prospects filling those voids is more and more unlikely. So an example would be Wander Franco in Tampa. I think it's unlikely that we see him this year, even though he's probably major league ready. I think they're going to want to control his contract, and you know, he's not really going to have a spot on that deep roster in the major leagues. Nate Pearson, the pitcher in Toronto, is another guy who's in the same boat. I think that Toronto, you know, even though their rotation isn't that deep, I think he's a guy who we don't see this year, or at least don't see very much of. Joey Bart in San Francisco, Mackenzie Gore in San Diego, and Joe Adele in Anaheim all likely won't see the majors this year, so I wouldn't even bother spending a draft pick on them, even at the end of my draft. Now, if you're in a dynasty league or like a deep keeper league and you have the bench space, you could stash them for next year, but I'm not sure I want to waste roster space on players who I don't think I'm going to be using or seeing in the majors this year. And even if we do see them, it's going to be for a very, very, very short amount of time. I want to fill my roster with starting players who are going to be getting a lot of at-bats and, you know, who are going to be really, really healthy, typically healthy players. So I'm going to try to avoid guys who are chronically injured. I'm going to avoid guys who are specialists, let's say, guys that are good against, you know, who are platoon guys, guys that are only good against righties or only good against lefties. I want my roster to be filled with consistent starters as much as possible. Obviously, in a deeper league, it's going to be harder. Well, that's all for today. Next week, we'll spend some time breaking down ground ball to fly ball rate and home run to fly ball rate and how those stats can help you figure out who is legit or not. Thanks for listening.